All right, let's dive into the book of Proverbs, specifically chapters 1 through 9 and this idea of the two ways. We're going to be using insights from Dr. Daniel J. Traer's lectures to guide us.
Sounds good.
Now, what I find super interesting about Proverbs is that it's not just like a random collection of advice, right?
Right.
It's like it tells a story about choosing between wisdom and folly. And Dr. Traer, he's a theology professor, gives us this Christian perspective on it all.
Yeah, this two ways concept you're talking about, it's all over Scripture. You know,
oh, really?
You see it in Psalm 1, Jeremiah 21.8. Even in what Jesus taught about those narrow and wide paths, it even pops up in early Christian writings like the Didache.
Wow, so it's like a recurring theme.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I think understanding this idea from like a solid biblical perspective kind of keeps us from falling into that moralistic therapeutic deism trap. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Like, it's more than just being nice. So it's not just some ancient self-help book, but this concept that just keeps popping up throughout history.
Exactly.
Dr. Traer, he breaks down Proverbs into four parts.
Okay.
And today we're zeroing in on the foundation, that two ways theme.
Yeah, that foundation is really key because it sets up like the whole framework for the rest of Proverbs.
Okay, so let's jump right into chapter one.
Okay.
What stands out to you there?
Well, chapter one kicks off with this idea, right, that the fear of the Lord is like the beginning of wisdom.
Okay.
Not like being scared of God, but...
Yeah.
You know, a deep respect and understanding of his power, right?
Right.
It's like the foundation.
Okay.
The gateway to wisdom.
So without that foundation, it's like building a house on sand, right?
Exactly. What I find so interesting is how Proverbs makes it clear that wisdom isn't just for, you know, the elite. It's for everyone, young, old, rich, poor.
Yeah.
It's like this treasure anyone can find if they, you know, actually go looking for it.
Mm.
But then chapter one also brings in this enticement of sin. The temptation to stray from that path of wisdom.
So it's like Proverbs acknowledges right from the start that there's always a choice to be made.
Exactly. It's always there.
And the way Proverbs are written, they seem so simple on the surface.
Right.
But they've got these layers of meaning, almost like parables.
Yeah.
You know, they make you think and dig deeper.
Right.
Especially, I think, if you're approaching them with that heart that, you know, fears God.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to be wise and discerning, like Jesus said, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What about chapter two? What's the main takeaway there?
Well, chapter two tells us to actively pursue wisdom, like it says in Proverbs 2.4, to search for it as for silver and seek for it as for hidden treasures.
Okay.
And this searching, it's not just about, you know, book smarts.
Sure.
Look at verse 11. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you.
Mm.
This is wisdom acting like a shield, protecting you from making dumb choices, especially in relationships.
Oh, that's good. So it's not a passive thing. Wisdom takes effort, intentionality.
Absolutely. And one thing Dr. Traer really hammers home is this isn't just about avoiding bad stuff, wisdom or understanding, as he calls it. It's about aligning our lives with how God designed us to flourish, you know?
Mm.
And chapter two, it also reminds us that, you know, rejecting wisdom. That has consequences.
Oh, yeah.
It puts us on that path of death.
That's a sobering thought.
It is.
But important to remember.
Yeah, definitely.
So what about chapter three? What are some highlights there?
Well, chapter three really zeroes in on holding on to wisdom once you've found it.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's saying, you know, don't forget what you've learned. Don't let your loyalty and faithfulness slip away.
Okay.
It also reminds us that finding wisdom is an ongoing thing.
So it's not a one-time download.
Nope.
We got to constantly seek it.
Yep.
Especially when life gets rough.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Traer, he cautions us about, like, simplistic interpretations of prosperity and suffering.
Okay.
In relation to righteousness. You know?
Right.
Like, the righteous might suffer and the wicked might prosper, at least for a while.
Mm.
This is something Philip Melanchthon, he was a 16th century theologian, really wrestled with in his commentary on Proverbs.
Oh, wow.
He argued that even though outward prosperity doesn't always match up with righteousness, God ultimately cares for his people, even in suffering.
Yeah, it's a complex issue.
It is.
And it reminds us that true wisdom isn't about just avoiding hardship altogether.
Right.
It's about navigating those challenges with God's help.
Yeah.
And holding on to our integrity, even when things are tough.
Exactly. It's about trusting that God is working things out.
Yeah.
Even when we don't get it.
Even when we don't get it. Yeah. So we've got this ongoing tension between these two paths, right?
Yeah.
And chapter four seems to really focus in on the importance of guarding our hearts, specifically through what we see, what we say, and what we hear.
Yeah. And that's so relevant today, you know?
Oh, yeah.
With just the constant bombardment of media and information.
Right.
What we let into our minds, it shapes our desires, our choices.
Mm.
If we're always filling our minds with stuff that goes against wisdom, it's going to pull us away from that path.
It's like that saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Totally.
But for our souls.
Yeah, exactly. And chapter 4, it also emphasizes the role of parents in this.
Okay.
You know, guiding their kids toward wisdom by being mindful of what they're exposed to.
So creating an environment where wisdom can actually flourish.
Exactly.
Then in chapter 5, we get this deep dive into sexual fidelity.
Yes, and while this chapter talks about the real dangers of adultery, it goes beyond just the physical. You know, it's about a deeper level of faithfulness to those covenants we make, both to our spouses and to God.
So staying true to our commitments.
Yeah.
Not just physically, but also like spiritually and emotionally.
Right.
It seems like Proverbs is connecting sexual faithfulness with faithfulness to God.
Yeah. And it's interesting how Proverbs links this to resisting instant gratification.
Mm.
It's a theme that runs throughout the whole book, you know.
Oh.
That true fulfillment and lasting joy, they come from aligning ourselves with God's design.
Okay.
And resisting that temptation to take shortcuts.
So far, we've covered fearing God, pursuing wisdom, holding on to it, guarding our hearts, and staying faithful.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 6 seems to warn us against different kinds of entanglements.
Yes.
Both financial and relational.
It starts with a warning against being a guarantor for someone else's debts, right?
Okay.
Highlighting how important financial responsibility is.
Yeah.
But then it shifts to a warning against laziness.
Okay.
Using the ant is this example of diligence and foresight.
It's a really interesting connection between practical advice and a larger moral principle.
Right, exactly. It's like Proverbs is saying that neglecting our responsibilities, even little ones, can have ripple effects, you know, on our character and our relationships. And then maybe the most striking part of chapter 6 is when it introduces this character.
Uh-huh.
It's a list of traits that mark someone who's totally embraced folly.
Okay.
Traits like pride, deceit, sowing discord.
It's like the opposite of the Beatitudes.
Exactly. It's this stark warning about what we become when we choose the path of folly.
And then chapter 7 kind of continues this theme of avoiding entanglements.
Yeah.
This time, a focus on the adulteress.
Right.
It seems like this is a recurring danger on the path of folly.
Oh, for sure. And while this chapter can be read as just a warning against physical adultery, there's also this hint of a deeper spiritual significance.
Okay.
There's this imagery of the adulteress preparing a sacrificial meal.
Right.
Which connects her to a form of, you know, alternative and ultimately false worship.
So she represents a kind of seductive, alternative wisdom that pulls people away from the true path.
Precisely. It reminds me of something Dr. Treyer said about how even today there are teachings out there that might sound appealing, even wise, but actually lead us toward compromise and folly.
Yeah.
We got to be discerning, testing everything against the truth of God's word.
Now on to chapter 8, where we meet Lady Wisdom in all her glory.
Ah, yes. Lady Wisdom, she's personified here, trying out publicly.
Okay.
Inviting everyone to embrace her teachings. She claims her words are more valuable than any earthly treasure.
Sounds like she's making a bold claim about the path of wisdom leading to true fulfillment.
Right. And what's so intriguing is how chapter 8 connects Lady Wisdom to the very act of creation itself.
Wow.
It suggests that her wisdom isn't just some human thing. You know, it's a reflection of God's own wisdom and power working in the world.
So she's not just some wise old sage.
You know,
she's connected to the very essence of God's creative power.
Exactly. And this brings up a question about her connection to Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Some scholars think this personification of wisdom might foreshadow the incarnation of Christ, you know, who embodies God's wisdom and truth.
That's a fascinating thought. Definitely something we could explore more deeply.
Yeah.
But for now, let's wrap up with Chapter 9, which brings Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly face to face.
Yes, Chapter 9 presents this stark contrast, right?
Yeah.
Lady Wisdom invites us to a feast in her well-built house.
Okay.
It symbolizes stability and nourishment, you know? She offers a seat at her table for anyone willing to listen and learn.
So it's like she's saying, come, join me in this abundant life.
Exactly. And then you've got Dame Folly mimicking Lady Wisdom's invitation. But her house is built on shaky ground.
Uh-huh.
Her promises are empty.
Right.
She offers those fleeting pleasures that lead to destruction.
It's like those warning signs you see, danger, do not enter.
Precisely. And chapter 9, it ends by reminding us that the choice is ours. Will we heed Lady Wisdom's call and enjoy that feast she offers? Or will we fall for Dame Folly's lies and suffer the consequences? It's a powerful way to end this first section of Proverbs.
Yeah, it really does seem like these chapters lay the groundwork for understanding the two ways.
Totally.
And how important it is to choose wisdom.
Absolutely. And as we move into the next part of Proverbs, we'll see how these themes get developed even further.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with part 2 of our deep dive into the book of Proverbs. Welcome back to our deep dive into Proverbs. Last time, we really dug into those chapters 1 through 9 with Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly, like battling it out for our attention.
It was like watching this cosmic play, you know, setting the stage for the rest of the book.
So now we're moving into chapters 10 through 29, and we see a bit of a shift in the style, right?
Definitely. Instead of those long speeches, we get a collection of short, to-the-point sayings contrasting wisdom and folly in, like, everyday life.
It's like we're about to get hit with a rapid-fire wisdom download.
Exactly. Each proverb gives us a peek into what happens when you choose one path or the other.
Okay.
Covering stuff like speech, wealth, relationships, even the nature of God.
So what are some of the, like, recurring themes you've picked up on in these chapters?
Well, one big one is the power of words.
Mm.
Proverbs really stresses speaking truthfully, kindly, and thoughtfully. Like Proverbs 10.19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lining, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent.
Mm.
Reminding us that sometimes silence can be just as powerful as actually speaking.
Yeah.
Especially when we're tempted to gossip or just blurt things out without thinking.
Well, it's not just about what we say, but when we say it and how much we say.
Exactly.
It's about being mindful of how our words affect other people.
Right. And Proverbs also warns us about things like slander and harmful speech, you know, reminding us about the damage those careless words can do.
These chapters also spend a good amount of time on wealth and possessions.
Uh-huh.
What's Proverbs' take on that?
I think it offers a pretty balanced view.
Okay.
It acknowledges the good things about wealth, but it warns us about greed and putting all our trust in material stuff.
Right.
Proverbs 11.28 says it pretty well. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf.
Mm.
True security and lasting prosperity, according to Proverbs, come from aligning our hearts with God's values, not from chasing those temporary riches.
It's a good reminder that what we own doesn't define our worth.
Absolutely. And Proverbs also highlights being generous, you know, using our resources wisely and helping those in need.
Okay.
Which actually leads us to another major theme, relationships.
Yeah, how do these chapters handle wisdom and folly in how we interact with other people?
Well, Proverbs is full of wisdom on building strong relationships.
Okay.
It stresses choosing our friends carefully, treating others with respect, and fostering those close family bonds.
Okay.
Proverbs 17.17 puts it beautifully. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
It really highlights the importance of loyalty, support, and being there for each other through tough times.
Right. Not just those fair-weather friends, but people who stick by you no matter what.
And Proverbs goes beyond just picking good friends, right?
Oh, yeah. It gives practical advice on navigating conflict, forgiving people, and trying to reconcile.
Hmm.
Acknowledging that relationships need effort and wisdom to really flourish.
It seems like even though we're getting these shorter sayings now, they're still building on that foundation of the two ways we discussed earlier.
You got it.
Each proverb is like a practical application of choosing wisdom or folly in a specific situation.
Exactly. And it's amazing how they use these vivid images and metaphors to really drive the point home.
Mm-hmm.
You can practically see the lazy person sleeping through harvest, or the gossiper's words spreading like wildfire.
It definitely makes them more memorable.
It does.
More impactful.
And it speaks to the poetic beauty and artistry of Proverbs. You know, it's not just some dry philosophy.
Right.
It's engaging, thought-provoking.
And amidst all these practical insights,
uh-huh.
we also get glimpses of God's nature.
Yes, Proverbs affirms God's sovereignty, wisdom, justice, and love, reminding us to fear him and seek his guidance.
Okay.
Proverbs 16.4 says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble.
Hmm.
Suggesting that God is working out his plans, even amidst all the hardship and evil in the world.
It's comforting to know he's still in control.
It is.
Even when things seem so chaotic.
Absolutely. And Proverbs stresses being humble, you know.
Yeah.
Recognizing that true wisdom starts with admitting we need God's guidance and grace.
It's a humbling reminder that we don't have all the answers.
Right.
And we need to rely on God's wisdom.
Absolutely. So as we get ready to dive into the final chapters of Proverbs, we'll see how these themes of God's grace and guidance all come together beautifully. But before we do that, are there any specific Proverbs from this section that really stood out to you?
You know, one that really resonated with me is Proverbs 15.1.
Okay.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Hmm.
It's a powerful reminder of how much our words can either calm things down or make them worse.
Yeah.
It makes me think about how I can be more intentional with what I say, choosing words that promote peace and understanding.
That's a great one. It really highlights the practical side of wisdom in our everyday interactions.
What about you? Any proverbs that really jumped out at you?
I was really drawn to Proverbs 18.24.
Okay.
A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It reminds us that it's not about having a ton of friends.
Right.
It's about the quality of those relationships.
Yeah.
It's a call to cultivate those deep, meaningful connections with people who will be there for us through thick and thin. And who will challenge us to grow in wisdom.
That's a beautiful thought. It seems like these proverbs, even though they're so short, they pack in so much insight into living a wise and fulfilling life.
They really do. And they remind us that wisdom isn't just about knowing a lot of stuff.
Right.
It's about actually applying that knowledge to our lives.
Yeah.
In a way that shapes who we are and leads us towards righteousness.
So it's about becoming wise, not just knowing about wisdom.
Precisely. And that takes intentionality, effort, and being willing to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong journey.
So if you had to pick a few key takeaways from chapters 10 through 29 for our listeners,
okay,
what would they be?
First, remember that wisdom is practical.
Okay.
It should be a part of everything we do, from what we say to how we handle money to our relationships.
So it's about living out our faith in real, tangible ways.
Exactly. Second, wisdom is relational.
Okay.
It's about living in harmony with God, ourselves, and others.
It's like this interconnected web of relationships that we need wisdom to navigate.
Precisely. And finally, wisdom is a gift from God. We can't just make it up ourselves. We need to humbly seek His guidance and grace as we try to live wisely.
It's good to remember we're not in this alone.
We're not.
God is with us, offering His wisdom and strength.
And as we head into the final chapters of Proverbs,
yeah,
we'll see how all these themes come together in a really beautiful way.
Stay tuned for part three. We'll be exploring those concluding chapters of Proverbs and uncovering even more treasures of wisdom. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Proverbs. We've journeyed through the two ways,
yeah,
explored all those amazing wisdom sayings.
It's been quite a journey.
And now we've arrived at the grand finale.
The grand finale.
Chapters 30 and 31.
You know, it feels like we're about to uncover those last pieces of the puzzle.
Exactly. And what I find really fascinating about these concluding chapters is how they tie together so many of the themes we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They offer this, like, final invitation to embrace wisdom,
yeah,
highlighting how it impacts our daily lives and points us back to God's design for us.
It's like the culmination of everything we've learned.
Okay, so chapter 30 starts with these words from Augur, this figure who's kind of shrouded in mystery.
A bit of a mystery man.
And his teachings really emphasize humility, right?
Yeah.
And recognizing our own limitations in the face of God.
It's like he's saying, hey, I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to understand God's ways.
And one thing Augur really points out is that insatiable nature of greed.
Mm-hmm.
He compares it to a leech, constantly wanting more, never satisfied.
Such a powerful image, right?
It is.
It speaks to the danger of putting wealth and stuff above of character and relationships.
Another good reminder that true fulfillment doesn't come from material things.
It really doesn't.
Augur also presents this series of numerical proverbs.
Oh, yeah, those are fascinating.
These sayings that use numbers to highlight certain qualities or observations about the world.
Like, for example, he mentions four things that are small but exceedingly wise.
Okay.
The ant, the rock badger, the locust, and the lizard.
It's like he's encouraging us to find wisdom in the ordinary, everyday things.
Exactly. Even in those tiny creatures.
And those numerical proverbs add a layer of, like, poetic depth to the text.
They do.
They make us think about the wonders of God's creation and discover wisdom in unexpected places.
Absolutely. Now, let's move on to chapter 31.
Okay.
Which ends with that famous description of the woman of valor, sometimes called the Proverb 31 woman.
This passage, it's often misunderstood,
yeah,
right? Like, it's setting these impossible standards for women.
It is misinterpreted a lot.
But if we look closer, it paints this beautiful picture of a wise and capable woman,
yeah,
who uses her gifts to serve her family, her community, and ultimately God.
It's not about being perfect or doing everything.
Right.
It's about using your strengths and talents to make a difference.
So she's described as hardworking, resourceful, entrepreneurial,
compassionate,
and spiritually grounded.
She takes on her responsibilities with both diligence and grace.
Wow, she sounds like a truly remarkable woman.
She really does. And the danger ends with this powerful statement. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
It really emphasizes that true beauty and worth come from a heart aligned with God.
Yes.
Not from outward appearances or achievements.
It's a message that speaks to all of us, no matter who we are.
So essentially, Proverbs is calling us to cultivate a heart that fears the Lord.
Yeah.
And to let His wisdom guide our lives.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Proverbs.
It does.
We're left with this challenge. to embrace that path of wisdom, seek God's guidance, and use our gifts to make the world a better place.
It's a lifelong journey, for sure.
It is.
One that takes intention and effort.
But so worth it.
A path worth taking.
Remember, wisdom is a gift from God, available to anyone who humbly seeks it.
And that wraps up our deep dive into the book of Proverbs.
I hope you found it insightful.
I hope you learned a lot and discovered some practical wisdom that you can apply to your own life.
The journey towards wisdom is something we're all on together.
So keep searching, keep learning, and keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's the key.
Until next time, happy diving.